Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your
greetings and welcome to a Monday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is April 19th. Andy, how we doing?
Brendan, I'm doing good. You know, I watched a lot of golf this week.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I watched a lot of golf last week. I wouldn't say I watched a lot this week.
I watched a lot. I was on baby duty like all weekend, and I got her set up. I got the TV. I got her set up. And I was just doing my best Jason Day, rolling around on the ground.
On the play mat or whatever?
Yeah, on the play mat with the baby and watching golf.
My best Jason Day. I didn't watch much at all. I mean, I got to be honest with you. Like, you know how some of these crafty pitchers, they just don't have their best stuff and they'll try to junk ball their way through an outing? Maybe they get shelled. Maybe they don't. I'm gonna have to junk ball my way through this podcast. I activities are starting to come back, and it's like when you haven't worked out in like 6 months or I don't know, you hit a muscle group you haven't hit in a year or a while. We're not even doing a lot, but we got a little flag football. I went to a Nats game. There's just stuff to do and places to be that are starting to come back, and I'm here Sunday night. I'm out of gas. I've got nothing but junk, and I wasn't able to watch as much golf. I need the bats behind me to pick me up. So I just, full disclosure, if the episode sucks, you know, we like to give you the hard sell here at the top. I don't think it'll suck. I think it'll be all right. But hey, I'm not coming in with my best stuff tonight.
Oh, hey, we're happy gonna balance each other out here.
I'm happy you watched a lot of golf.
Well, there wasn't much going on today in the golf. It was a snooze fest. You know, my in-laws came over in the back nine. I think I would have probably fallen asleep on the couch if they weren't over. So it forced me to watch more golf and conversate, you know. But yeah.
The flag football was more, I had it on my phone. The flag football where they just throw it to these, you know, 6, 7, 8-year-olds and it just hits their hands and falls to the ground over and over and over and over again. Was more entertaining than what I had going on the phone, so I kind of just put the phone away after a while. But let's start with probably the biggest win of the weekend. Should we do that?
Yeah,
the Lotte Championship over at Oahu.
The Lotties, famous bar in Chicago, sponsors an LPGA Tour event. It's really an unbelievable story.
I've been to that. Is that famous? Is that too strong a word? I mean, how famous?
It was
are we
in
talking?
A movie. I forgot what movie it was. I can't remember what movie it was in, but it was in a movie. I used to know. I haven't been to Lotte's in a few years, but it was in a movie.
I wandered in there maybe 10 years ago, probably at too late an hour of the night. That's all, yeah. Yeah, I've definitely certainly been there once. But, yeah, sponsors an LPGA event halfway across the world.
I had a Chicago tavern owner inquire about fried egg events, and I saw... You know, I saw where his email was Scofflaw Group, which is like a, you know, a bar. And I sent him an email back. I go, I have to thank you for, you know, numerous nights where I don't remember leaving a few of your fine establishments.
I feel like you've told this story on this podcast. Maybe you told it to me on the phone or something like that. I thought you, okay. Maybe.
I think I told you on the phone.
All right. Well, now everybody else has heard it. Yeah. What was his reaction to that? Chuckled probably, huh?
He was like, oh, I'm glad that you've been a patron. I'm honored that you've been a patron. And, it, you know, this was in the middle of a pandemic. He's like, I'm hoping that we get the opportunity to get, you know, people back on the brownouts, you know, in the near future. So fine bar is like the Slippery Slope. All-time bar name, the Slippery Slope in Logan Square. It's a late night bar too. So
it's to the point, you know. It's not holding anything back with that. It's not, no smoke and mirrors or anything like that. Trying to It's telling you what it is and what can happen. I kind of like that. It's a good name.
It's a great name. All-time bar name.
All right. Well, anyways, the Lotties Championship, another bar. We had Lydia Ko win. Breaks 1,000-day plus. I don't know the days. I'm sick of people throwing out these
1,083 days.
All right. And Spieth's was 13-something, and Hideki's was
13-44. Spieth was, I think, 13-51. God, you know, I looked this all up on Saturday night. I was thinking about the tweet for 2 hours. I looked it all up. I had to put Josie down, and I tweet it, and then I'm like, I better check if Justin Reyes tweeted this.
Yeah.
And I go on. Sure, he had tweeted it like 20 minutes earlier. I just was like, I deleted it right away. Sent him a message.
I hate when that happens. Yeah. Like,
but I mean, he's just so good. You can't get anything by the guy.
Yeah. Yep. So another long drought from a phenom, a former player of the year, rookie of the year, major winner, done it all. Obviously did a lot of it before she was even 20. She's still ridiculously young. I saw someone tweet, again, not giving credit here, that she's younger than Colin Morikawa?
Yeah. I think was the she's tweet. 23. He's Holy 24. Crap. That's the crazy thing. It's like she's won one, you know, before this win, she had won once in 4 years, 4+ years, and she still had 13 wins. Like, it's just nuts. She's 23. It's yeah. crazy. She's about to turn 24, but this is a great win for women's golf. Great win for the LPGA. She had seemingly been knocking on the door really since, I don't think they had all caps return to golf, but you know, they're back. You know, yeah. It was since the LPGA returned, she has been knocking on the door. Obviously, she had the kind of like heartbreaking loss at what was it, Inverness?
Yes.
Where she kind of
was it Sylvania?
It might have been Sylvania. One of the two Toledo stops where she kind of gave it away. And then obviously at ANA she had shot the best round in women's major championship history tied with 62. So this was a long time coming, and it's great to see her finally knock the door down. And it makes you really you look at the people she beat: MB Park, Se-young Kim, Nelly Korda. She beat the best of the best who all were playing seemingly pretty well, and she blew them out. It was such a dominant performance. It was so impressive. The fashion in which she did it, there was little to no doubt on Saturday night, the final round, and awesome finish Saturday night, prime time. This is a huge win. Like
3.5 hours.
3.5 hour round. Like, it was a delightful watch. And just great golf. Like, I mean, while Lydia Ko's putting this crazy performance together, MB Park's out there shooting a 63, in the final round. She's, I guess, really close to overtaking number one in the world again, which is
really
nuts. Yeah.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
Great tournament. It was awesome. And then, LPGA's got great momentum. They go the Wilshire, one of their best tournaments of the year is this week. So it should be another really great week with primetime golf for the LPGA.
The Hugel Air Premier something or other.
The right? LA the Open. LA, the only, it's the LA
real,
Open.
The real LA Open. Yeah, that's a fair moniker. So Lydia went 67, 63, 65, 65. She was 28 under, 7 clear of that quartet at 21 under. We were watching last night. My wife had it, we had it on all night. And my wife was like, hey, like, what? It says she's like 25 under. Like, what? Isn't that a lot? Isn't that really low for them? And I was like, yeah, it is. I mean, this gets back to the whole Beth Ann Nichols thing should they set up courses easier? Do people want the birdies and the eagles? I don't know. It felt like Lydia's just playing out of her mind right now. It was this crazy low score, 28 under. And here's some of the stats. I think many of these probably originate with Justin Ray, so we'll credit him. He said she's posted birdies at a 42.2% clip while hitting 87% of greens in regulation, 42.2%. She's 38 under over her last 90 holes, and her scoring average is 64.4 in her last, I guess, 90 holes. Kind of ridiculous, right? I mean, under 65 over in a five round stretch. So.
And you just think about like her journey. Obviously, she's gone through this slump. She had tons of teachers. I mean, it was like a. It was like a lineup, just mowing down the lineup of teachers and caddies. And, at the same time, like you think about it, like I couldn't imagine being, you know, one of the best women golfers of all time at age 18, you know, and just confronting all this stuff and it, having to do it like you talk about with Spieth all the time in such a public forum, being like number one player in the world, like all this stuff piles up and you're not 28, you're not 32, you're 18 and having to deal with this, all this stuff, 19, 20 years old, like you're going to make mistakes along the way. And like it probably, you know, the whole thing was tougher because of, you know, the age she was going through with all this stuff. But you know, now you look at it and it's like, God, she went through all that. Now she's 23 in seemingly her prime. It could be an insane next couple of years for Lydia Ko.
I thought it was super cool how she talked about watching Hideki win and Spieth win and like kind of in a half kidding, half serious way. I mean, hey, I know it's been like 1,000 days for them. It's been a lot. So, hey, why not me? I thought it was cool that she specifically cited that and called that out instead of just letting, you know, the media sort of ram that narrative and assume it, or, you know, she called it out herself. One thing with her though, you talk about her peak, like the difference with the women's game is like so many of the greats say, no, I'm done. And Lydia has said this in the past. Now maybe she's changed her mind. It seemed like she was going to do the Lorena Ochoa or the Annika, and kind of not necessarily, she's not going to be like Stuart Sink out there playing into her mid to late 40s. So I don't know. One would assume she has like at least like 8 more years of playing. I don't know though, but she, or maybe she's entirely changed her opinion on that. But in the past, she's been on record saying she didn't plan to play professional golf for, you know, as long as she could.
I mean, she's made like $13 million. Already in her career,
she seems super well adjusted, super just like chilled out now. It doesn't seem like, I assume there were very many years and nights and months where it was tense and pressurized and like, why am I not back, or why am I not winning anymore, or why am I changing coaches and caddy and all this again? But right now she seems like completely fine with everything. And I mean, I might give a little credit to Sean Foley for that too.
I know. I had this on my list of things to do. It's Sean Foley. You gotta give the man some credit. Hobbling around on a bad knee, apparently. You know, he's doing work between Team Rose and Lydia.
He seems like this Sherpa. There's a little bit of a Sherpa to him where he's like, just chill out, man. Enjoy it. Accept whatever happens to you, kind of deal. So, but it's good to see Lydia Ko winning. You think, I mean, she keeps, you know, it's clear she's found something. This isn't like a one round deal. So she's playing well, like you talked about, since the return to golf. All right. Anything else from the Lotties Championship that stuck out?
Yeah. Yuka Sasso, obviously uber talented, 19 year old. She was playing on a sponsor's exemption and she finished T6. We learned on the telecast that the LPGA, if you finish top 10, if you're a member, you get into the next week event. But if you're playing on a sponsor's exemption, you do not get into the next week's event. So she will be back on the, I think, the Korean LPGA tour next week, as opposed to playing another week on the PGA tour. And then I tweeted something about this, and all this more information kind of came through. This is just a crazy rule. So you only get 6 sponsors exemptions. In order to get a card, it's worse than the PGA Tour. In order to earn your card from sponsors exemption, you have to finish in the top 40 of the money list in 6 starts. six starts. And you can't earn these extra starts by playing well. So say average LPGA player plays 25 times, and roughly 20% of the starts, you need to finish in the top 20% of the tour. That is absolutely ridiculous. It's a shame. This is the same tour that had that awful Sophia Popoff rule last year. This needs to change. This is awful.
What's that all about? Protecting their own?
Protecting their own.
Keep the doors as closed as possible and not throwing people out as you know, once you're on, so to speak.
You want Yuka Sasso, who's got, it makes social media go wild when any time you put her swing next to Rory McIlroy.
Hammers it, yeah.
You want her in your tournaments.
She was, what, T15 at the U.S. Women's Open was where she, like, really made the latest splash. Looks like she's mostly on the JLPGA, so Japan.
Japan.
Ladies PGA. But, yeah, the U.S. Open, and now, again, this week, sort of in the Lottie's Championship.
The Lottie's
six
bar,
events,
bar and grill.
And they all got to be sponsors?
Yeah.
Basically, or a U.S. Open type, U.S. Women's Open.
Or Monday qualifiers. But six sponsors exemptions. You can't get... The thing that sucks is, like, we see it with guys that play well on sponsors is a big thing on the PGA Tour is, like, you play well in a sponsors, you get that freebie, and you don't take up a sponsors exemption the next week. You know, like, that's huge for the momentum. And, like, you don't always get... Like, you know how sponsors work. Like, some weeks you get them, some weeks you don't. And this is a way to get... Usually to get in, but not on the LPGA Tour. It's awful. Like, if you finish in the top 10, you should be in the next week.
Can I say... I told you I wasn't... You know, I had a little bit of junk tight. But you know what they do that for? They do that for the freaking Champions Tour. Because I was reading, prepping tonight, Alex Chayka, Monday qualified into the Chubb Classic, finished T2. Doesn't have to do it again. He's just straight through to the next event. Alex Chayka is still getting spots in some of the opposite field events. Like, he's getting into, like, the Punta Cana and stuff. But Monday qualifies, finishes top 10. He's playing on the Champions Tour.
What was the Chayka story from a few years ago that you told? I thought you had there was a good
might not
Chayka.
Be a great guy, I thought, right? Wasn't
I think
it
that's
not
what
flattering?
It is. Yeah.
Something?
I think some bad tips, maybe.
Yeah, he might have given El Toucan the shaft as well, like a pre-Kucher. I forget what it is. There was some bad Chayka intel. So about, yeah. Anyways, he Monday qualifies, gets in, top 10 for the next week.
Foothold into that championship.
Back to the JLPGA. All right, that's it for the Lottie's Championship. Awesome to have Lydia Ko back in the game. And I think that will just add ton of juice to the major season too, certainly at Olympic. All right, Harbortown, Stewart Cink wins.
Talk about the Will Count Am.
All right, go ahead. No, what do you want to talk about? Did Romo blow it? Did he win it?
He finished T8. He got a nice top 10
go.
The week before his Korn Ferry Tour, next Korn Ferry start. Yeah, an 18-hole leader, but it's tough to win. It's tough to go out there and win on Sundays. 77.
We give Romo too much airtime, but he's not been justifying these spots he's getting. And I'm not even talking about, like, sponsors. Yeah, that's free. We have exemptions, can go to whoever they want. But some of these amateur events, he's, like, getting in, like, these Northeast Dam and things like that.
He's a past champion of the Will County.
All right, well, that's a little different than, you know, the more premier ones, like a Northeast Dam or something like that. But I heard, we got a tip. For what's the Korn Ferry event? Is it somewhere? The Veritex
Dallas,
Bank?
Texas, yeah, it's in Dallas.
We got a tip, and I'm sorry, I forgot who sent it in, that he has yet to withdraw, take his name out of whatever member guest at Bentree. Romo's committed to playing that on the weekend, Saturday, Sunday. So maybe he's not too optimistic about what's going to happen on the Korn Ferry Tour next week. He's refusing to take his name out of the field.
I feel like he should be riding high. He picked up $225 in pro shop credits.
With the Will County deal?
At Balmoral Woods, yeah. He can load up on some golf balls.
Will Knight's tweeting some satellite images of that course. Does not look befitting of a county amateur, even that, I would say. It looks like...
It could be good. It could be decent. It's got some nice topography. It's got some charm to it, but there's some really bad holes out there.
I mean, the topography doesn't have anything to do with it, like 90 degree left turns through the trees and
I'm
right turns.
I'm just saying, it's not, okay. There's, you know, you, that hole, you just launch it over the trees. Over you can hit it. So there's
how
a retire-
many people are doing that?
But there's like, a retirement home on the left. And, you know, the beauty is the parking lots. OB is like where the parking lot is. If you hit it a little too far left, you got a chance that it hits in the parking lot, bounces yeah. back onto the hole through the parking lot.
There you go. This is like thick boy antics at the Will County Am. I like it. All right. You love your Will County Am.
I love the Will County Am. It's the start of the manure tour season in Illinois.
Anyways, the Romo tumble was predictable. Why is he up there playing that? Because he's won it before.
Yeah, he's won it before. I don't know why he came here in the first place and started playing the Will County, but he just plays the Will County. He loves. He plays it in, like regularly. This is not like a he doesn't play every year, but it's not like once every 10 years.
All right. The RBC Heritage, a step down from the Will County Am as we work our way through the schedule results. Stuart Sink wins at 19 under, kind of cruises all day, as we noted. Wasn't a very dramatic Sunday. Harbortown.
Well, it wasn't a dramatic Sunday because Colin Morikawa had the heebie-jeebies, the Ernie L. heebie-jeebies on the green. That was jarring to watch. It was
awful. I saw a few of them.
Oh,
where are you at that? Are you concerned long term? Are you concerned that we might he's just going to win only when he, you know?
Well, it seems like
lightning.
has these really bad weeks, but he also has really good weeks. So
right,
I think like that's the deal. Is like, but it was ugly out there. He needs to get in the arm lock group, the cabal, you know.
But on balance, though, it's not good. Like
no.
His stats and his season long over the course of seasons and months are never good. He just gets a hot week like Concession, and that's good enough. And I don't know how often are those hot weeks going to happen. We got that a little bit with Hideki last week.
I'll tell you what, Stuart Sink was kind of like Tiger this week. This was a Tiger-esque performance. It was. He went out and blew the doors off the field. And then all he did was go around and make a bunch of pars on the weekend, and everybody just crumbled around him.
63-60.
Like literally, like it was a vintage Tiger performance from Stu
That's
Sink.
63-63, and let everybody else just crumble.
Like nobody did anything all weekend. Like Corey Connors played with him on Saturday and stunk. Morikawa plays with him on Sunday and stinks. It was vintage Tiger. It was like he was just intimidating.
Scared him out of their boots. Yeah.
I don't know if you heard, but his kid was caddying for him. Did you hear that?
They're big boys. Yeah, I did. I did hear that. While we're on the subject of Tiger, I heard one. So like he disappeared, right? Sink, like fell off the face of the earth a little bit.
He's
back. I heard either he or his wife or a combination of both of them. Didn't want to pay Butch what Butch is at. Like, Butch was too rich for their blood, or it was too much money. And they left Butch, and then we didn't hear from him much. I don't know how well sourced that rumor is, but that was one thing I heard. Is and I won't give the figure, but it sounds like at that point, he was probably very well accomplished and had a ton of money. I mean, even if Butch will see you, you had to have some cash and done some things, but. That was maybe part of his wander in the wilderness, was deciding someone in his household saying, that's just too much money. And then
do you know where he is on the career money list?
He's got to be 20 in the 20th, top 20.
You're pretty good. 21st.
God.
I think this win,
total?
This win put him past, this win moved him ahead of Charles Howell III. He's ahead of Ricky. He's made 41 plus million.
Wow.
Think about that and then not paying a teacher. Kind of almost like a little bit of case of the Kucheritis.
Again, just a rumor I heard, but that was part of maybe what led to his wander in the wilderness. They decided it's a little too much cash. So what? All right. So You mentioned Ricky. Can you throw out your hypothetical from the Instagram live show?
Because I think that's worthy of the wider audience. This is what I was thinking about today, or yesterday. I was thinking about it while I was watching. I started thinking, oh, Ryder Cup for Stu Stink. And I started diving into his career. And I thought to myself, wow, you know, this is going to be, this is win number 8. He's got a major. He's played, this will be his, if he makes the Ryder Cup team this year, it'll be his 6th Ryder Cup. He's one of 2 multi-win players on tour right now. Him and Bryson are the only people that have won twice in this season. I started thinking, like, is this best case for Ricky at this point? Is 8 wins in a major best case scenario for Ricky Fowler, who's at 6 wins right now?
I mean, so Ricky could play for
and
like 100 more
plus
years.
In the world ranking.
15 more. That's true. Ricky's hawking Kate Spade purses right now for Mother's Day. It's a paid partnership with Kate Spade. Tough. It's a good question. Like the absolute best case scenario, the ceiling, I think, is a major and maybe around 10 wins. He's got a players. Let's not forget. I mean, that is something.
I mean, right? Stu Sink has 2 Mexican Opens, 2 national opens. I didn't even count those. If you count the Mexican Opens, the national opens, he's up to 10 wins.
All right. I think it's a pretty good question. Yeah, I think that might be the ceiling or the best hopes. He probably wants more than 8 wins, but again, given he's at what, 5 now or 6? What's the pancake zone?
Ricky. 6.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it feels like it right now, but again, who knows? Could all turn around for the Rick Tater. What else from Harbortown jumped out to you?
But no, pancake zone's 5. I don't know what I was thinking there.
Yeah. The one thing I thought that was cool that the PGA Tour tweeted was like, he's one of 10 guys. Not a non-useless stat from the PGA Tour comms. He's one of 10 guys to win after the 600th career start. Most recent was Brian Gay. But it's a bunch of old guys Furyk, from the tour that was, it's a tour Furyk, gone by.
Phil.
Yeah. Cal Kavecchia was one. But I mean, it speaks a little bit to his longevity, not just to be successful, but also
to stay on
tour.
Well, he's 1 in 3 decades.
Right. Can you name?
He's just missing 1 in the middle. I don't know of any player that's 1 in 3 decades, but had their career span 4 decades and have one of those middle years. That's a question for Justin Ray. Yeah, like, you know, like someone's played 4 decades. But a lot of times they miss on the front end or the back end. Rarely do they miss in the middle.
So his first win was the 97 GHO, the Cannon Greater Hartford Open. It's no longer an open.
JJ Henry Memorial Tournament.
Yeah.
Cannon is a company. What are you talking about?
Was that as bad as saying Dell when you said Dell might not make stuff anymore? Cannon, remember the old, like, weren't they the Andre Agassi?
Yeah. Maybe Nikon. I think it was Canon, though.
So who's the top 10 from that? 97. This was 24, 5 years ago almost.
97? Greg Norman? Tiger Woods?
I mean, they weren't playing. So Stuart Sink finished first.
Oh, in that tournament? I thought you were saying the top 10 in the world.
No.
Is J.J. Henry wasn't a pro yet. He might have been playing as an amateur at that point.
He was already a legend in
Connecticut.
All right.
So I'm going to guess John Houston was in the mix. I'll guess Tommy Tolles.
I don't see Tommy Tolles, but it's this kind of collection. Tom Byram was 2nd, not to be confused with Kurt. Tom Byram, Brandel Chamblee, and Jeff Maggart all finished runner-up to Stu Sink. Cal Kavecchia, Kelly Gibson. I don't know. P.H. Horgan III in Newport. Wayne Levy, Doug Barron, Mike Briskey, Steve Pate, Phil Tatarange. I mean, that's how long Stu Sink's been around. And now, this isn't some like all due respect to the Boost Stopper, it's not some like Bermuda Triangle championship flash in the pan. The guy's like second in the FedEx Cup. He won.
Third.
It's his second win. Third, whatever. You would be on top of that. The Ryder Cup stuff was just
standing.
This is
the most important standings in golf.
The Ryder Cup was getting thrown out like crazy.
He's won twice. Steve Stricker, in his post-round interview up at the Champions Tour, was asking what was going on with Stuart Sink. He's making the team. If he plays halfway decent the rest of the year, he's making the team. Those old guys love to pick old guys.
Yeah. The collection, the team room is what? It's ZJ and DL3 and Furyk and, I mean, whatever. I don't have the energy to talk about that. But sure, fine. Put him on the team. I can't wait till we need a crucial point out of him.
And
late
you got
Saturday
or Sunday. Stu Sink playing Tyrrell Hatton on the Sunday singles for the win. It's like, what are we doing? Why? He's
he
bombing the ball, though.
Because he shot 63 2 days in a row in early April at Harbortown. And now he's Sunday singles against Tyrrell Hatton. Like, yeah, that's the whole issue with the Ryder Cup.
He is beating the shit out of the ball, though. He's hitting
what
it
is
so
it at
far.
The distance? Yeah.
He said that his instructor he works with out at TPC Sugarloaf. He's a big TPC guy. Got him just some setup changes, and he got his launch angle or his attack angle from -2 to +2, and he's hitting it like 30 yards further.
He's got it like he had a beautiful little draw going this week. It was really fun. Like, it was cool to watch with the tracer and all that. I know you hate the tracer, but
that's just never right.
Okay. All right, anything else from Harbortown? Harold Varner III gets his best finish ever, finishes T2. Maverick McNealy, made some noise. He finished up T4.
It's good to see Maverick McNealy playing good golf.
Yep. I think the Morikawa stuff, though, is pretty scary, just based on what I was hearing and reading. Just not good. Westy's out of here. You see he's flying back. He's been UK. Hasn't been there since like the first week of January.
Good for him.
He's gone.
Guess some time for him to get home.
So will we see him for the PGA?
Probably not.
He might be headed to Portugal. He may be.
That's a good course for him too. I feel like that's a great golf course for him. Like
Ball
there's a lot of trouble
wind.
All over the place. Yeah. It's the kind of place that Westy can win. That's a place where par can be a good score.
All right, on the European Tour, with John Catlin, the American.
That's
winning.
It? We're done? We're done talking Harbortown?
Well, you got anything else for me?
It was kind of
a snooze fest.
It sucked. It was fine. It just was boring. Because he was just making pars.
This can happen at Harbortown the weekend after Masters. I mean, it's good for the players, but everybody else is just kind of, I don't know. You need something to really grab your attention. And that
is, he played great. The whole thing, like, it's cool with his son in the bag. It seems like they have a great team chemistry, but the telecast was just, that's all they talked about. And
like
I understand it's hard when it's a runaway win, but like, come on. They talked about it for 4 straight hours.
It's cool bit. The kid, I read some quote about the kid. He's like, it's just absolutely the best. It's such a blast. I'm having so much fun. Which I thought was cool to hear from him.
He just made like $120,000. He's a 23-year-old kid. Like, I want to go caddy and make $120,000 in a week. Like,
well, he might not if it's not paying Butch. He might not. Who knows? Maybe it's just room and board covered.
The kid's like just grad. He was supposed to start a job at Delta. I saw, and Stu, this was in the press conference afterwards. Stu called up like the CEO of Delta. I was like, what do you think you should do? It's like, your dad calls the CEO of Delta. It's kind of unbelievable.
What? And he's leaning on the CEO. Yeah, he's got nothing better to do.
The CEO said, we believe that Reagan's going to have 40 great years at Delta, and that won't change if he takes a year off to go caddy for you.
I mean, he's basically probably calling, like, well, the job, like, you're going to have a job for him, right?
Totally.
Of course. Interesting.
I also saw in the press conference that Stu Sink is moving tomorrow at 7:30 a.m. So good luck, Stu. Moving sucks.
It is. That is terrible. But he's got some money to pay, you know, for the I would hire
like an extra crew. Like I would be calling and hiring an extra crew tonight. Guess he's moving into the city. Moving from the burbs into the city.
That's what you do. You get your kids out of the house. Go buy a nice place downtown.
Condo. Downtown ATL. How about that? I like that too. I think that adds a little bit of layers.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. I'm sure I didn't watch it, so I didn't get hit over the head with it. The kid thing I can enjoy. You know? Whatever, it's fine. I'm sure it was way too much, but it seems like they're genuinely.
It's cool. It's very cool.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, we didn't need to hear about it the entire like it was all that they talked about. And I know it's hard to figure out something to talk about when it's a runaway win.
All right. Anything else from Harbortown that you're demanding we talk about ad nauseum? What else did you have? Scores too low for you.
Corey Connors, another really good week. Mr. CT machine. Who knows if the driver's conforming or not. But he hits it so good. Another guy, just wish he could putt.
So do you think Bryson's WD has anything related with the CT machine coming back up?
No.
I'm kidding. People trying to stir that up. They're trying to stir up also somebody poaching Reagan, the caddy. They're like, this kid's an ace looper now. Some more money bags, top ranked player, come in, poach him. Be like, hey, come over here. I'll give you an extra percentage. I'll give you better, you know, travel perks. That would be kind of amusing. Trying to break up the team so they could pass Stu on the FedEx Cup list.
You saw the Siwoo putt, right?
Yes.
That everybody was hollering about?
Yes.
What do you think of that?
I mean, you got 10 seconds, but the drama here was the ball still moving?
How is it still moving? How?
Is that what they were arguing?
Yeah.
Kuchar was there, probably asking for four opinions on behalf of Siwoo, third opinion. You have 10 seconds. What's the big deal? It was way, way more than that. I don't understand what the drama is.
I found this thing I was reading about something else and for another project, and I found this really interesting passage in a SI article about the 85 US Open at Oakland Hills. Do you want me to read it?
Sure.
So this is exactly what happened to Siwoo. Ball hangs on the edge for 40 seconds and drops. Siwoo made a par, right? So one of those was probably Dennis Watson. In the first round, the South African, this guy finished runner-up in the 85 Open. This is what happened in the first round. Was given a two-shot penalty for dawdling over a ball resting on the edge of the cup of the eighth hole. It was imposed by one M.T. Johnson, a USGA official and Amarillo cattleman who wears an eye patch. Johnson came running up as Watson left the green like a cop handing out a traffic ticket and called two strokes after Watson had let his ball hover on the edge of the cup for 35 seconds it took to drop in. A player has only 10 seconds before he must tap in such a putt. Those two strokes gave Watson a double bogey 6, not a par 4. And cost him dearly. Remember, he finished just a stroke behind Andy North. But he wasn't bitter. I put that penalty out of my mind on Thursday.
All right, so that's a little bit more substantial. That's penalty, the difference of the U.S. Open, right?
How about M.T. Johnson?
I mean, if you are a rules official.
And
you got to be just dealing with these pampered Fs all day, asking for third, pushing back on you. You know, say, I want another opinion. You don't know what you're talking about. I think I might start wearing an eye patch just for show. I mean, like, they'll think twice a little bit, you know? Amarillo Cattleman.
How about when did it change? When could you? I feel like you just assessed him in a penalty. Like,
yeah.
What do you mean he got a penalty? Like, I don't understand what he got penalized for.
It just counts as a stroke, the ball falling in.
Was like wrongfully convicted of a murder here, and we're trying to release him, you know, some 30 years later.
Are you trying to exonerate him?
Yeah, he should be the U.S. Open winner. He got called for a penalty for letting a ball sit for 35 seconds. It's not like he was. It was
would have put him in a playoff.
What was the penalty for? No, he would have won. He finished one shot back.
Okay. Okay. Oh, gave him a two.
He got
gave
two,
him two
shot
on top
penalty.
Of, okay, on yes. the ball. Okay. Right.
He got a double bogey. Okay. I don't understand what the penalty was for.
Maybe the rules changed. Do we know that?
I don't know. Okay. It gave him a two-stroke penalty for dawdling over
dawdling.
A ball.
Yeah, yeah. Prancing about.
35 seconds. That's how long it takes a fast player to hit a putt.
Yeah. What do you make of Stu Sink doing his little start-stop stutter?
Oh, my God.
On the shorties.
It's really hard to watch. It's,
it's
awful.
Back, forward, back, forward, then back. Yeah. Yeah, 30. It feels like a difference in the U.S. Open. And now he got bad to the bone, ringtones off of that. He went on to live, you know.
This was his second at U.S. Open. 85 was his second.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Two-time. The Curtis Strange deal. He got a little extra bad. I don't know. That's nuts. Siwoo, just a par, right? Just gave him a four.
He got a four, yeah.
Okay.
Just didn't get the birdie. I don't understand where the six came from.
Yeah, that's tough. Seems like it might have played a part in deciding of the U.S. Open. I like that Dennis Watson seemed to take it in stride. I don't know.
I might have to reach out to the USGA for comment.
Okay, you do that. About the, what was it, the 85 U.S. Open?
85 U.S. Open.
Okay, all right. You start asking the folks there who were probably all born, you know, after that, many of them, for comment.
Might have to track down M.T. Johnson. Could be my uncle.
Could be a distant relative, I'm sure. Anything else from Harbortown?
Nothing else.
The net, nothing. We got through it. It was a fine week, you know. It was all right. Slow weekend. On the European Tour, John Catlin, the American, wins the Austrian Golf Open. He beats Maximilian Kiefer in a playoff that just wouldn't end on this par three. That was terrible. It was just slow. They kept walking back.
It was like Las Colinas all over again.
They had water in front, so many of them kept bailing deep left. There were a couple shots that were close at the start, but they couldn't make their putts. There were a couple bad shots into bunkers. Then finally, Kiefer, the German, the local favorite, he had Martin Keimer there rooting him on. Kiefer just made a mess on this, I guess, the fifth time around on this par three. I watched almost all of this. I did watch this, and it was tough. It was just so
Seems
slow.
Like the par threes were tough out there. Thomas Dietrich.
I was going to say, shot 49 on the back. He shot 82 with like five birdies and an eagle. He had a 10 and an 8 on the two par threes. But this is what happened. These guys, this front pin, they would throw it up on this back shelf, spin it down to the front pin. It would just spin by the pin and fall off the bulkhead into the water. It happened to Kiefer.
Just like it sounds just
twice.
Like Tin Cup.
Somewhat. Yeah, it was just too much English.
Maybe the greens were too fast.
Well, we got some rumor that the greens had just been punched. But that was, I talked to folks on the ground and said, there was a rumor. It was discussed on TV, I guess, even mentioned, but they weren't punched. They were in fine condition. So, yeah, Thomas Dietrich, 10 and an 8. Tough scene. But, yeah, congrats to John Catlin. He's 79th in the world. He's going to get in the PGA. He's really made his way up kind of after navigating the Asian Tour, I believe. Now he's done well in the Euro Tour over the last year plus. So, the
grinding.
Austrian Golf Open.
You know who I was excited? I excited to see pop up on a leaderboard for the first time in a while.
Who?
The battleship, SSP Chiariza.
Oh, was he at Austria?
T15, yeah.
Good for the battleship.
Also, Martin Keimer.
Hasn't won still since Pinehurst, 2014. He kind of wrecked it in the final round. I think he had the 54-hole lead, but played with Kiefer in the final group. So, that's all I got on Euro Tour. That playoff was just was hard. It was looked so cold, so cold. So many big mitts, so many hats, and us, you know, we mentioned that on Friday. On the Korn Ferry Tour, the MGM Resorts Championship at Paiute, Peter Uihlein wins, kind of running away, 4-shot lead, beats David Lipsky and Jamie Lovemark by four.
Good for Peter Uihlein.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's his second Korn Ferry Tour win. Not near the Jaeger zone, but I don't know where that'll put him in the card race. But another one, he and Ricky were teammates, right? Very tight.
Oh, yeah. Former number one ranked amateur.
Of course. The decorated amateur. But it seems like this would portend good things for his chance. It says he's
73rd. That doesn't seem right.
Yeah, probably maybe not updated. So, good for Peter Uihlein out in Vegas or near Las Vegas, wherever that is. And then on the Champions Tour, the Chubb Classic, Steve Stricker won at Tiburon. Does any place host more professional golf events than Tiburon?
No, not the remastered Greg Norman masterpiece.
I mean, they have the shootout, the QBE shootout. They have the CME, right? The LPGA season ender. They've got, why? Spread the wealth around. There's so many venues that could love to have
eager.
Professional
they're
golf.
They're eager to host. May they pay for it.
Naples. May
they pay
for it.
They got
old folks that come out and watch in Naples. Stricker, you know, that's the whole... The Big Ten area, a Big Ten kind of winner spot, Naples. They were probably all over.
You know what?
Stricker.
I just was thinking about with the Korn Ferry Tour.
Yeah.
I think because this season is such a big season that they should kick 50 players off the PGA Tour this year and give 50 Korn Ferry Tour cards.
I was wondering about that. But it's never like a one-in, one-out deal. That's just not how it works.
No.
Because you got this conditional stat, you got all these different status, but like the guys who get their Korn Ferry Tour don't get, it's not like roster spots, right? It's like, all right, you got your card, but that just means like you're slotted in somewhere in a priority, but it doesn't mean 25 guys are technically, I mean, you lose your card or you lose your full status, but that's just not how it works. You can't say 50 guys are gone because no one ever is really gone. On the tour, it takes a couple of years to really be gone.
Unless
you want
you're
to kick
a rookie.
50 guys. Yeah, that's
true. Not 50, maybe like 35. Give 35 cards out this year. Take 35 away.
And when you say kick them off, are you like no?
I think it should be a strict relegation. Gone.
Yeah,
you're out of here.
Down. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's probably right. But then they got to fill these events. There's too many events. They got to fill in the...
And Ricky will be using his like lifetime money earnings exemption.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how many sponsors exemptions he would get if he lost his card? And he's like the best friend of the sponsors.
Farmers, Zurich, Rocket Mortgage. There's a lot out there. A lot out there.
Amex.
Anyways, Stricker won by one over Carlson and Alex Chayka. Guys who did not win... Sandy Lyle and Ian Woosnam making starts. They're playing. Woozy is taking it. Woozy only beat.
He should have been resting his groin. What's he doing?
They finished 11 under, T76.
11 over.
11 over, I'm sorry. T76. They did beat three individuals. Frank Licklider the second.
Played regular on the PGA Tour.
Scott McCarron.
What's going on with him?
I don't know. That's why I brought it up. And John Harris. Woozy and Lyle. I don't know why they're doing that, why they're playing Tiburon. Maybe they just, whatever, hanging out stateside. But something's going on with McCarron. I don't know if they cracked down on the anchoring or what's going on. But anyways, that's a nice segue. News. We never talked about Billy Ho. The town crier, as a town crier does and should, offers his opinion, shouts it to the heavens on matters big and small, solicited or unsolicited. And Billy Ho, after talking about how, you know, the Masters makes him insane, I think the word was insane. Maybe it was crazy, you know, which we all saw borne out on the featured group stream. On Billy Tour Live this week, he was much more reserved. But then, just, you know, rang his bell and had an announcement to make about arm locks.
Right after playing with Will Zalatoris.
In the middle of playing with Will Zalatoris. After his first round, before the second round. Because out of nowhere, I'm bringing up something different here. And I'm sort of going out on a limb. Not asked. Just rang the bell and said he had an announcement. I'm sort of going out on a limb. But I don't think this arm lock putting is, like, should be allowed either. I'll give the belly putter back. I'll give it back. So he's now the judge, jury, and executioner.
I did a pod with KVV once. It was a hypothetical. Yeah. It was like, we're each the golf star. What five things would you do? Yeah. I should do one with Billy Ho. Golf star.
That'd be great. I'll give the belly putter back and take away the arm lock. Okay, thank you, Billy. I think when you look at what guys are doing now with the arm lock and moving the grips to the side where it's parallel or matches the face, and then when you do that up against your arm, I mean, it's, you know, that face is dead square and that face doesn't rotate at all. It's just sort of locked in. Guys are doing it too good. You could say it's anchored when someone, you know, prompted him, like, hey, so is it anchored? He goes, I don't know. Yes, you could say it's anchored. I don't know, because I guess anchored is having one point against somewhere and a fixed point. I know that's not fixed, but it's something similar to an anchor style. I mean, you could say it's kind of fixed to your forearm. I don't know. Like I said, I would rather give them the belly putter back. I think there's a little bit more flow. Some guys going that way are becoming great putters, but it's just something guys are trying and seeing some benefits for. So, I mean, this is going to ruffle some feathers. There are a lot of high-profile arm lockers out there. I don't know that
usually,
we ever heard
of... Usually, a man he's in concert with, Webb, you know, I feel like they just draft off each other's golf architecture takes.
Takes.
He just shot one across the bow of Webb Simpson.
Billy Ho was the one that said the homes, right? The homes were the reason that the, like, ball goes too far or something. Yeah. They needed more room for homes to put on hole. We kind of agree with them, right? I mean, where
I think
you?
He makes a point.
I love that he just threw it out there, not being asked. I'll throw something up here. We'll go out on a limb. He does have a good point. This only feels like this is the start of something, right? We're going to be talking about this. The USGA is going to have to address it, whether they say it's fine or not. It just seems like this is going to become a public topic of discussion.
It
more
could
and
become
more.
A game within the game.
Could be. It could be. Any other news? Oh, Whoop Stats. You see this?
Oh, yeah. Such a ridiculous activation.
So you mean to tell me I can see a guy's heart rate when he's hitting a shot, but we can't test for drivers, CT. We can't understand, you know, what we're testing, what the piss tests are, what the drug tests are. We can't, you know, the rules are just kind of, you know, liberally applied for some and not others. It's just like, this seems like such, if we can know the heart rate of players as they're hitting shots, it feels like we could have a little bit more oversight on a few other areas. That's all I'm saying. It's just sort of, but again, this is a branded play, so to speak.
They paid for it. They can do anything when somebody pays for it.
So maybe, somebody's got to pay for
maybe
the CT
we,
machine.
Yeah, maybe we should try and sponsor. We need more Bixby sold.
Well, it's too uncomfortable, though. It's a player's tour. It just would make things uncomfortable. Well, you failed. All right, that's all I got. College golf. We got a bunch of college golf notes from Brentley Romine. Those conference tournaments are starting. I think SEC and ACC finished this today.
Auburn. Big upset. They, you know, obviously South Carolina is the one of the USC. Two or three best women's programs in the country, and Auburn won the SEC women's. I think in the final they beat Ole Miss. That's what.
Okay. Yeah, Mississippi State. Auburn beat Mississippi State 5-0 in match play. He said 12 of 14 SEC teams are going to make the regionals. That's a lot of teams. 12 of 14. I wonder who the two are. All right, ACC, Duke won, and then we got 24 women's conference championships starting. So that's something. A little extra golf that always spices up kind of May, late April. All right, that's it for this Monday episode. Anything else you'd like to get off your chest? Announcements?
No.
Discussion points? All right. Enjoy the start to the Monday. We got Zurich coming. We're reviewing these teams with a fine-tooth comb.
Walk-up music.
Walk-up music. What a favorite segment annually, along with what? Halloween costumes and a few other things. But we'll be back. Are we doing that Wednesday? Maybe Friday? Give us some more research time. When do you want to do walk-up music?
Maybe Wednesday.
Okay. All right. Walk-up music, which I don't even think they're doing there anymore.
Oh, no, they aren't. That's why...
It's still a gimmick here, and will always be so.
I always have to remember.
All right. Enjoy your Mondays. We'll be back with you on Wednesday.